So we're celebrating the Reformation all year long. And the reason for this is that it is the 500th anniversary of the Reformation this October. The date we remember the Reformation is October 31st. And the reason for that being, that's when Luther nailed 95 theses on a door. But the reason we're celebrating all year, again, 500 years since that event, this kind of anniversary, it just doesn't come around very often. This is the only time in your life that an event, a church event of this magnitude, will happen. Very likely. And we're talking very much in the human sphere in terms of seeing what we humans do in recognition of the history of the church. You're just not going to see an event like this again. Even if you live to see the 600th, it's not the same as half a millennium. I mean, if you live another 500 years, the 1,000th anniversary, if the Lord tarries that long, well, that'll be a big deal, right? But this is a big deal. So we're celebrating it all year. And one of the ways is here on Friday. I'm always giving you a little bit out of this Conservative Reformation and its Theology from Charles Porterfield Crowe, this old textbook of his writings as he stood against the liberalism of his age. And he's got just pieces here again, setting up the story of Luther himself. And last week, he answered the question, what was the cause of the Reformation? Was it the printing press? Was it the rise and fall of nations? And he asserts, and I agree with him entirely, no. The Reformation was caused by the Word of God. That was its sure and certain cause. And that's kind of where he picks up right now. He says, the Word of God kindled the fire of the Reformation. The Word lay smoldering under the ashes of centuries, but it broke forth into flame in the Reformers. It rendered them lights which shone and burnt inextinguishably. Through them it imparted itself to the nations. And from the nations, it purged away the dross which had gathered there for ages. As St. Paul had said, the word of God is not bound. Through the centuries which followed the corruption of Christianity, he's talking about the Middle Ages there, the word of God was still in being. In lonely cloisters, it was laboriously copied. Years were sometimes spent in finishing just a single copy. Gold and jewels had were put on the massive covers, decorated with rich workmanship. Costly pictures were painted as ornaments on its margin. The choicest vellum was used for the copies. The rarest records of heathen antiquity were sometimes erased to make way for these noble treasures of the oracles of the Most High. The scarcity and the costliness of books formed in themselves a barrier more effectual and the interdict of popes and councils. I mean, it's just a beautiful point that for all that the Roman Catholic medieval church did to suppress justification by grace through faith and the preaching, the real thing keeping the Bible out of your hands was just the cost of making Bibles, copying by hand, paper costs, all these things. And so they spent a lot of time on the ones that they had. From the earliest writings of the fathers down to the Reformation, there is an unbroken line of witnesses for the right of all believers to freely read the Holy Scriptures. Right, so the church has always believed nonetheless that you have the right to the Scriptures. No man thought of putting an artificial limitation on its perusal. The invention of the printing, and hardly less the invention of paper made from rags, for what would printing be worth if it were still confined to costly parchment? The invention of printing and paper made from rags prepared the way for the real diffusion of the Scriptures. The Church of Rome did not apprehend the danger which lay in this little book. In 1522, the first edition of the New Testament in German came from the hand of Dr. Luther, fixing the cornerstone of the grand edifice whose foundation had been laid in the 95 Theses of 1517. That is the Reformation. The Reformation is about the Bible, about having the Scriptures, the oracles of Holy God, and that they belong to you. They're given to you. They are your possession. His word is your hope. And what good is it if you can't get to it? This, then, is the historical result of the facts we have presented, that the Middle Ages became, in the wonderful providence of God, the conservators of that word, which they are charged with suppressing, right? So even though they were trying to keep people from reading it by burning them at the stake, they were the ones who preserved it for us all along. And they were unconsciously tending toward the sunrise of truth, which was to melt away their mists forever. The earliest efforts of the press were directed to the multiplication of the copies of the Word of God. The first book ever printed was the Bible. Again, I mean, didn't I say this last week? How can you not get excited about that? How can it not make you tingle inside to think that's your heritage? That the word Lutheran doesn't just mean stuffy old Germans in a congregational building we try to spend as little money on as possible. Right? I mean, that's not what Lutheran means. It means you have the scriptures in your hands, that the light of God's word is no longer hidden. That's our heritage. That's what we want to press out. We want this word to be in the hands of all, in the ears of all, in the minds and hearts of all. What a glorious heritage it is. I mean, how can you not be excited about the 500th anniversary of that?